I'd like you to please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1 today. I hope you had a good Lord's Day yesterday. I was able to actually to go to my church yesterday. Most weekends I'm away and preaching in other churches, but it was a delight to be in church yesterday morning, first of all. And secondly, we had a wonderful children's program that was total chaos. And yet at the exact same time, it was wonderfully beautiful, because it was the story of Christ being told by children with some neat props that they had. And then afterwards, Dr. Brent Cook, who is my pastor, was able to get up and just tell the gospel story. And I never get tired of hearing the gospel. I never get tired of it. Even if little children quote verses, I start crying. And so as I was coming today to the chapel, realizing, looking at the next few days that we have chapels, just a handful that are left. Tomorrow is a student-led chapel. Dr. Horn will conclude our series on the Creed on Wednesday. Thursday is a President's Chapel. Then next week is sort of a wrap-up, and I'll talk about the semester and then, of course, say goodbye to our graduating seniors. So I thought, what can I say as we are coming to the conclusion of this semester of chapels that I would want to challenge you with? And I really want to challenge you, both those of you that are graduating and as you're going home for Christmas, I really want to challenge you with the idea of sharing the gospel, of being an evangelist, of going out and telling people about Christ. I'm thankful to be here at Bob Jones University. At heart, I'm an evangelist. That's really where my passion is. And so, as I was studying through this passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning, I realized that those of us here that are believers, we have an opportunity to bring hope to a world that really has no hope. And we can do this because of the hope that we have in the gospel. And so, my message this morning is entitled, Living with Gospel Hope. What does that mean? Because you really need to see yourself as a part of the hope that God has for this world. God has called us to this. So let's look at what Paul says here in Colossians chapter 1 as we see him praying here for the church of Colossae, beginning in verse 3. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth." Paul here is praying for the Colossians, and he expresses his gratitude to God for their faith and their hope and their love. That because of their trusting of Jesus Christ, that they have birthed in their heart a love for God and a love for man. And they live day after day with this buoyant hope in their hearts. And what is this hope? Specifically, it is the confidence that we have regarding our ultimate future. You know, I would like to say that all of us will survive Christmas, but you can never come to a chapel service with this many people and with so many of us that will be traveling over the Christmas holidays to know that traveling is always a peril. And there's always the opportunity of death. And yet all of us are living today with a hope and a confidence. That hope means that vast blessings are in store for every believer in the world to come. What we have down here is just a foretaste. The best is yet to come. And hope means to live with a high level of expectancy regarding our future, regardless of what our experience is like. Our experience in life may be difficult. It may be very, very hard. But we as believers have hope. We have a confidence in the future. And so this morning, I want to try to answer the question, and that is, what is the cause of this great hope of the gospel, and what does it do for us? Not so much about the gospel. We've been talking about the gospel a great deal over the semester. But how is it that gospel hope affects my living and the way that I think and the way that I live out my life? And this is not just for today, but this is for the rest of our lives. And so three things I'd like to share this morning, how gospel hope affects the way that I live my life. And the first thing I'd like to say is this, that the gospel, the hope that we have in the gospel connects me to a world of hope. Look at what he says in verse 5. He says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, that confidence of eternal life, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel," that is, it is in this gospel wherein we find our hope, "which is to come unto you as it is in all the world." It is very obvious, Paul is saying, that this message is spreading throughout the world, and everybody that receives it receives hope. When you receive the gospel, you quickly realize that you have been connected to and you have been interwoven into a world of hope. All of us have this hope. Why? Because we are connected to the same message. The gospel of Jesus Christ, who saves us from our sins, who has given us the hope of everlasting life. And we are all connected by this message. We live in a world of hope. We're also connected to the same body, the church of Jesus Christ. And we are all unified around the same ones. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul mentions seven ones. Seven unifiers that we all have. We are part of one body, and we are all part of one spirit, and we have one hope and one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and Father of all. We are all unified together in this world of hope called the Church of Jesus Christ. And we are also all connected by the same experience. Chapter 1 and verse 27 of Colossians says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." We are all interconnected by our new birth experience. That's the beauty of being a Christian. Because when I talk to you about Christ, the lights turn on. When I share with you the message of Jesus, and if you're a believer in Him, everybody perks up. Why? Because we have all the same hope. We all have a new heart, a new nature, a new life, and a guarantee of a new body in heaven. We live in a world of hope. And it also means that we're all connected by the same identity. Paul says in chapter 1 and verse 2, "We are saints and faithful brethren in Christ," which are at Colossae. In other words, our identity, all of us, is this. We are in Christ. Before you become a believer, you're an outsider. You're out of Christ. Now that you're a believer, you're in Christ. And because of this connection, we find our true place in the world. Paul said it this way, "For me to live is Christ." For me to live, my identity, who I am as a person, where I find meaning and purpose and direction in life, I find this in Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is the better deal. But while I'm here, my identity is found in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Where are you going to find your place in this world? You're not going to be here forever. You're going to graduate. Nobody comes to Bob Jones to stay permanently. Nobody in their right mind. You all want to leave. So you're going to go out in the world. So where are you going to find your place in the world? Where are you going to find your identity? You're either going to find your identity in this world through the world. That is, through the world's accomplishments or ownership or status or appearance or culture or honor. You find your identity in the world through the world, or you find your identity in this world through the gospel. When you find your place in this world through the gospel, you start seeing the world differently. You suddenly see this world as a world of hope, because God is at work in this world. And it doesn't matter where you go, what your job is going to be, where you're going to live, everywhere you're planted. If you have the right viewpoint of your identity, you see yourself as being in Christ, and you can go to people and bring to them hope. And it ought to be this way in everything that you do. A number of years ago, Dr. Sam Horn and I, both of us, before we came here to work at Bob Jones University, took a trip together to do a survey of all the churches that Paul the Apostle planted in the country of Greece and Turkey. So we went to these sites. And it was after a long semester of traveling as an evangelist, to be honest with you, I was just like many of you are, I was very tired and I didn't want to do what I had been doing all along. I just wanted a break. And so I got on the plane actually here in Greenville. I was in the Greenville area and we were flying overseas and I was going to meet Dr. Horn in the city of Athens, Greece. And so I got on the plane. And if you're anything like I am, when I'm at that point in life, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want any responsibility. Just leave me alone and let me veg. And so I got on the plane and I sat down and immediately I felt conviction. I felt conviction of being selfish. And I prayed a very simple prayer and I said, Lord, I give this trip to you. This trip is not about me. It's about you. And Lord, I'm willing to be a witness for you on this trip if you open the doors. If you open the doors, I'll step through them. I'll be a witness. Why? Because we have a message of hope. And I believe the gospel is the hope of the world. And Lord, if we can help somebody and give them hope, I'll do that. So a man comes in, sits down on the plane next to me. And first thing I asked him, because I realized he had an accent, I said, where are you from? And he said, France. My first thought is, oh, he's from France. He doesn't care anything about God. I mean, you know, Frenchies, they don't care about God, you know. Maybe somebody else, but not a guy from France. I mean, he's from Europe. I said, so what are you doing in the United States? He says, well, I'm actually here studying to become a nurse. I said, and he said, I'm trying to learn English. I said, well, how do you learn English? He said, well, I listen to a radio program where all they do is talk. I said, in the Greenville area? He said, yes. I said, well, what's the name of the radio station? He says, WMUU. That was the radio station for like 50 years for Bob Jones University, just until a few years ago. And he says, yes, I actually like listening to what they call chapel talks, whatever that means, because all they do is talk. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, I got the message. So my whole flight from Greenville to Washington, D.C. was sharing the gospel with this guy. When I got off the plane, I was so energized. Whatever energy I'd lost, God gave it back. You know why? Because once again, I was convinced of the hope of the gospel. And do you know our whole trip was like that? That was only one of multiple times throughout that entire journey. No matter where we went, we were able to share the gospel. What does it mean to live out the gospel? How does the gospel hope affect my living? It suddenly connects me to a world of hope. As a believer, you will either find your identity in the world or in God's kingdom. Worldliness is fundamentally building your own life in your own world without regard to God's will and God's work and God's kingdom. So I want to challenge you. You have been given the hope. As you go out, view this world as a world of opportunity to spread hope. Then there's something else here. And that is, how does the gospel hope affect our living? Not only does it connect us to this world of hope of what God is doing, but secondly, and it's sort of the same thing, but it's a different idea. And that is, it compels us to tell the message of hope. Notice what Paul says in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That is, that the gospel had come to them and somebody had preached that message to them. The fundamental nature of the gospel is a word. It is something that is to be spoken. You're to tell the gospel. It's not just living it, but it's telling it. The gospel is a story of hope that is to be told. And when you receive this gospel, you begin to realize that what you have received is the hope of the world. What is the gospel message? By one man, sin entered into the world. By one man, salvation comes into the world. By the first Adam, sin came. By the second Adam, salvation comes. And we have a story to tell, a message to deliver, a hope to find. And the message of hope should compel us. It should drive us. It doesn't matter what we do in life. The message of hope should compel us to go out and to spread it and to share it and to declare it. The gospel is like the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus multiplied the loaves of bread, two things were happening. Number one, people were consuming it. And number two, people were sharing it. And that's the way the gospel is. We consume the gospel. And at the same time, we share the gospel. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you feel compelled to tell this message? Do you find yourself, and I hope so, do you find yourself frustrated at times that you're not getting the opportunity to share the gospel? If you do, I'm glad about that. I feel that way. Because the message of hope, living out this gospel of hope, compels us to want to get out and tell the story. When I came to Christ at the age of 19 years old, I wanted everybody to hear the story. Everybody. I wanted my family to hear it. I wanted my two brothers and my sister and my mom and dad to hear it. And I'll tell you, I was scared to death to talk to them. And I remember how nervous I was. But I was compelled to overcome the fear because of the burden, the hope that they needed to have. I wanted my aunts and my uncles and my cousins. And so whenever we would visit, I would take the time to share the gospel with them. I remember the burden I had for all my former members of high school, the public high school that I attended in Columbia. And I remember I was out one day jogging, trying to stay in shape for soccer. And the Lord just stirred my heart to stop by a friend of mine's house that I had not seen since my senior year of high school. He and I were really close friends. His name was Bubba. And I ran up and knocked on the door, and he came to the door and he walked out, and I stood on the porch and just shared the gospel with him. And the next time I saw him was some 20 years later when he came to hear me preach in Columbia, and he shared with me how he'd been saved since then. I was compelled. I wanted everybody in my company. I was in a company called D Company, and I wanted all the 33 or 34 guys to hear the gospel, and I still feel that way. 2 weeks ago, I went to my 40th reunion at the Citadel, and the whole reason I go there is because I feel compelled to share the gospel. I wanted all the soccer team members, everybody on the team, to hear the gospel, everybody in my class. I didn't work that up. It's just the result of the gospel. And I've lived long enough to see the effects of the gospel from 40 years ago. I've lived long enough to see that when we spread the gospel back then, that there are many people today who are living lives filled with hope that they did not have at that time. Last time our basketball team that I was able to go played the Citadel down in Charleston, South Carolina. I went down for the game, and I was standing there at halftime, and a tap comes on my shoulder, and I turn around, and standing in front of me was a guy named Chris Glaze. Chris and I both played on the soccer team. He was an all-conference, Southern Conference soccer player. He was a striker. And he came up to me and he just said, "Steve, I saw you here and I just wanted to come up and say hello." And he said, "I just want to remind you." He says that it was on the back of the bus that we were traveling years ago to a soccer match that you and your roommate, Maxie Birch, led me to Christ. And I just want to remind you of that. And you know, I was stirred to think that the gospel message that I shared when I was a college student still has the same power and effect. 2 weeks ago, when I was down in Charleston at our reunion, I had a fellow come up to me that I remembered him very well from college. His name was Wayne. Wayne came up to me. He said, "Steve," he said, "I'm so glad to see you." He said, "I was hoping and praying you would be at this reunion." So we sat down and spent about 30 to 45 minutes in conversation. And he shared with me how that when he was a student, he was a professing Christian, but he was very nominal. And he really wasn't committed to the Lord. And he said God took him through some deep trials. But through that, it changed his life. And today he is an avid, fervent, zealous Christian. He's a member of a church where he teaches a Sunday school class of over 100 people in his class. And I saw a guy whose life had been radically changed. And you could see the hope and the vision and the compelling passion he had for the Lord. You and I are getting ready to go out into the world, many of you in graduation and others of you for Christmas break. And this gospel hope, when we live with this gospel hope, it compels us to go out into the world with this message of hope. Do you feel that this morning? Do you? I sure hope you do. My vision is to see 2,500 young people leaving this place and going out with a message of hope to a hopeless world to be able to fill their hearts with hope. You have that opportunity. Then one other thing I'd like to say this morning about how this gospel hope affects our living. And the third thing I'd like to say is that it causes us to have great hope in the midst of deep suffering. Would you look down in Colossians 1 and verse 23 where Paul says, "The hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So he's talking about this message. He's preached it. The people have hope and confidence of eternity. And verse 24, he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. Essentially, what Paul is saying here is that his suffering has meaning and purpose to it. That not only does suffering refine the character of the believer, suffering makes us more like Christ, but suffering is also a part of the advancement of the message of hope. Those who tell the story will suffer like the one who is the subject of the story they tell. Our story is the story of the suffering Savior. And those who tell the story must suffer with him. And the hope is that it is through this suffering that God advances his message of hope. Let me make it really simple. When I started carrying team members on our team, I had to sit them all down. This would have been 25 years ago. And I had to sit everybody down that traveled with us. We had 57 young people that traveled with us over a period of 20 years. 42 of them were BJU grads. And I sat them all down before they started. And I said, "Now, if you're going to play, you're going to pay. If we're going to see gain, if we're going to see the kingdom of God in advancement, moving forward, I said, if we're going to see that happen, I want you to know there's a price that's going to pay. You're going to pay a price. I can't tell you what that price is. I can't tell you how you're going to experience suffering. I don't know how that is going to happen." I said, but you can't play and not pay. So one of our favorite statements was this, that we would travel on Saturday and we would begin on Sunday and we would usually go through Friday and travel on Saturday again. And we always came back with a statement, if it's a bad Saturday, it's going to be a good Sunday. Because we all understood, we just finished a week, we saw God work, we actually saw people get saved, and we're getting ready to travel on Saturday, and it's amazing how many bad Saturdays we had. I mean, whether it was weather, or traffic, or setup, or complications with our equipment, or whatever, we constantly seem to have all kinds of struggle, and we knew that if we're going to play, we're going to pay. We knew that there'd be no gain without pain. We knew if we had a bad Saturday, we're going to have a good Sunday. And the simple teaching was this, that if you're going to be a part of the forward advancement of the gospel, there's going to be suffering involved. It's just the way it works, folks. You can't attack the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of darkness not push back. But it is through this suffering that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to go forward. And so therefore, I don't have to live in fear or try to play it safe, but I can have this amazing confidence that God is going to work. I met with one of our teams in the back of a church up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We were coming to the end of their travels with us. All of them, all except for one, had graduated from Bob Jones University. And so I took them in the back room, and I was sort of stirred up, and I was kind of fired up. And I felt they'd been a little bit selfish, but that's okay. I was just kind of, you know, like that. And I sat them down. I started pounding the table. And I looked at all six of them. I said, "I want to ask you a question. Are you guys going to come and travel with me for 2 years and then go have your own nice life? Is that what you're going to do? Is that what you're going to do?" I said, "Are you going to go back to Greenville and get your nice little home and your nice little church and your nice little school and have your nice little family and do your nice little thing while the rest of the world dies and goes to hell? Is that what you're going to do?" Are you going to graduate and just do your nice little thing and live in your own little comfort zone while the rest of the world is going to die and go to hell? Or are you going to get out on the front lines? Are you going to make a difference? Are you going to bring hope to a hopeless world? And are you going to bring the gospel? What are you going to do? Are you going to live in fear and play it safe? Or are you going to go for broke and have confidence and trust God and go out in the world and make a difference? I said it louder to them, and I pounded the table harder than I just did. They got the message. All of them today are out in the ministry. Aaron Coffey, evangelist, he was one of them. None of them live in Greenville. Except one person. And that's me. And so, but believe me, I'm not playing it safe. I can tell you that. Folks, if you're going to follow God and serve God, He's going to thrust you out. You're going to pay a price. But you know what? You have confidence. You have hope, because this is the way God advances the gospel. So those of you that are graduating, get out. Go out. Leave. You're excited about leaving. Okay, great. But leaving to what? Get out and take the gospel message that's filled with hope, and go to a hopeless world and fill them with the hope of the gospel. That's what living with gospel hope is all about. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us the confidence of eternal life, dwelling with you forever. Help us, Lord, to take this message to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.